Welcome to the GeoMob Podcast, where we discuss geo-innovation in any and all forms, whether for fun or profit. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the GeoMob Podcast. Today should be a fun one. My guest is the new CEO of GeoHipster, Randall Hale. He takes over from Mike Dolbo, who some of you may remember was a guest all the way back in episode 53. Welcome to the show. Very, very pleased to have you here and be speaking with you. This is cool because it's not often here on the show that we get to talk with literally the hip new thing. And that's what we have today. So first off, let's dive in. What is GeoHipster for those listeners that don't know? And what made you want to be CEO of GeoHipster?
Oh, man, GeoHipster. So we are, I don't know, probably about 15 different authors, interviewers, however you want to put it. And we just track down people and interview them. Somebody noteworthy in the community, in the geo community, typically would watch Twitter, which is kind of weird right now because Twitter being Twitter. And we track them down, we interview them. We do like 6, 7, 8 questions, just kind of hit, you know, no gotcha questions, nothing terribly journalistic, just kind of learning about the person and learning why are they in geo, a few of why aren't they in geo, like we've had a few people just leave, and, you know, what makes them tick? What makes them want to do what they do? What makes them want to build a map? And I guess, why did I want to do it? So I've done the interviews, I guess, since 2014, 2015. I haven't done a great many, but I've done enough to kind of know how everything works. And Mike took over for Atanas and had Atanas Inchev was the original founder, the OG of GeoHipsterdom, and he handed it off to Mike a few years ago, and Mike has worked with it, and he sent an email out almost a year ago and said that he had kind of reached his end of life or his you know, his ability to keep it moving. It is a lot of work, and Mike's full-time employed, and he asked two things. One, did anybody want to pick it up? And if nobody wanted to, would there be an objection to ending it? Because this is our 10th anniversary, which I was, you know, when he said that, I'm like, man, we've been doing this for 10 years. This has been going on, but it has. And so there was, you know, general silence when you asked for a volunteer. And I thought about it for a little bit. And what we do, I don't know. I feel like what we do with GeoHipster is a little bit too important to let it go away because we are hitting, you know, different people in the community, maybe people you haven't heard of, or maybe people we've just kind of stumbled into, but everybody's got an important story. So if we can track somebody down and talk to them, one of my better, you know, interviews was with a young gentleman over in India. And I had met him through LinkedIn. We had talked, traded emails, and he did a fantastic interview. You know, that went on pages, and it was fun. You know, so what we do is important. It's fun. I don't want it to go away. So we're going to keep running with it and see where it goes from here.
And so what makes someone a GeoHipster?
Oh, that's a really good question. So we did a poll back in 2013 when Atanas got this started. He actually just ran a web poll and was asking people, you know, your general hipster is somebody that follows mainstream stuff, but they kind of stay out of the mainstream. You know, they listen to music, but maybe music you've never heard of or, you know, something sort of popular, but off to the side. And he kept wondering, you know, what would make a geo hipster? And, you know, at the time back in 2012, 2013, you know, we had Neo Geographer floating around. We had all this different stuff. GeoJSON was kind of, I think, just kind of starting to make a splash. People were talking about it. And so he ran this poll, and it was really funny because the poll came back of, you know, what makes a GeoHipster? You know, the answer is always GeoJSON or the the Q in QGIS stands for quinoa, or, you know, geohipsters always use manifold. But what we ended up at the final definition was basically a geohipster. You know, they like GeoJSON, they like getting their hands dirty, they like, you know, rolling their own map tile, so to speak. You know, they have a sharp sense of humor. Sometimes they're in denial just over the general state of geo. But we tend to shun the mainstream, which is funny because that's not what, you know, hipsters do. And we don't always agree what the mainstream is. You know, what is mainstream? So, you know, for me, it's always people are doing things a little bit differently. You may have somebody working in a commercial environment. Maybe they're using, you know, all the commercial tools that you hear about constantly, but they've also got some open source plugged in somewhere, or they're maybe they're not doing geo during the day, but at night they're making maps. They're building their own maps. I follow one person on Instagram. They work in clay and they build their own globes. You know, stuff like that makes it interesting. So it's, you know, it's people doing things a little bit differently, but still staying in the mainstream of geo, so to speak, I guess. I don't know. Can you really define what a geo hipster is? So that's, I don't know if that's a good answer or not, but I'll stick with it.
What would you say are your own geo hipster credentials? How does one climb the ladder to eventually become the geo hipster CEO? Tell us your own background.
So my own background. So way back when, I was a geology student at the local university and got out, ended up working for the feds in production mapping. So I worked for the Tennessee Valley Authority, who has like the second or third longest running mapping program. And we were pretty boring. I mean, there wasn't anything that exciting about working there. We mapped stuff. We got things done. But it was never quite fun enough. Like, it was fun, but there always seemed to be something else we could be doing. And so what I discovered working there were all these really old mapping tools laying around. Everybody there had a story. Eventually, I ended up leaving and starting a consulting business. And, you know, and it's funny, like, what would make me a geohipster now? I'm running this interview through a Linux laptop. I've got, like, probably three or four different Linux installs. I love just weird, wacky tools that we use here in geo. I love, you know, the GDAL or Goodle, depending on how you want to pronounce it, the command line stuff. Last year, I decided to learn MapServer because, I don't know, it's interesting. I feel like I need to learn it. I tend to work in all open source. I do occasionally touch, you know, commercial software as I go around, but and a fascination with compasses. I've got a Brunton compass from back in my geology days, and I still happen to carry it around occasionally if I go out and look for fossils or do other things, and just kind of make notes and play around. So I don't know if that makes me a complete geo hipster, but it'll work.
Wow. Surely you have to know, as the CEO, man. I mean, you are the arbitrator now of what's geohip and what isn't. So
that's scary.
this leads to my next question. I mean, what are the plans for geohipster? Is it more the same, or out with the old, in with the new? What can we expect under your tenure?
Yeah, it's rule with an iron fist. I was thinking about it because Mike, when I talked to Mike about it, he started this. It wasn't a painstaking process, but it was very arduous and very. Mike's very regulated, and so we worked through all these moving parts. There's a lot of moving parts to GeoHipster. You know, we've got a website, we've got a domain, we've got a store, we've got a calendar, we've got stickers, we've got shirts. And talking to Mike, you know, what do I do? How do I make this better, the same, or whatever? And you know, there's things we'll keep doing. We're going to keep doing interviews. I would love to do interviews in something other than English. One time I did an interview in Honduras, and I got my interviewee translated in Spanish, and I thought that was a hoot. You know, we had one English version and one Spanish version of the interview. I am tempted to do podcasts, which just makes this that much more interesting to do this, or maybe do some YouTube videos where we, you know, maybe not necessarily pounce on somebody at a conference, but maybe we meet somebody at a conference and do a short 10-minute interview, something where we don't really have time to transcribe what's going on, but we can do a quick, you know, video. But we're still going to do interviews. You know, it's, nothing much is going to change. I'm currently wrestling with the store. If I can get the store set up, I would be so much happier. I didn't realize how much fun it was setting up a t-shirt shop or a sticker to sell stickers. We generally hand these out at conferences, so we've got to get some more made up. And we've got Jonah Atkins.
You should tell us a bit about, obviously, I think one of the main things GeoHipster is known for is the calendar. Whether that will continue or not? I mean, can you describe a little bit how the calendar works, just for listeners who maybe don't know it?
Yeah, so we, and actually, I should have looked this up, and I didn't. I don't know exactly when we started the calendar, but it seems like we've been doing this now for 6 or 7 years, at least. You know, in all the interviews, we're generally dealing with people that make maps, deal with maps, or deal with spatial data. And so we just started putting a call out. And it's a really informal call, you know, asking people to contribute maps. And can we make a calendar out of it? And we start sometime, I guess about the middle of summer, June, July, send out an email, send out a tweet, send out something, smoke signals, and start getting people to submit. And generally we get 20, you know, 15 to 20 submissions, and we vote on them. We have a group of people here that we pass around all the maps. We decide which ones resonate, which ones don't, which ones are cool. One person did a map using bacon. We've had a charcuterie board, is that even how you pronounce it, of cheese. For a map, we've had, you know, hexagons, plenty of other stuff. So yeah, and we end up, we sell the calendar. I think the calendar goes for like 15 or 16 bucks. I think GeoHipster, our net profit off of that is like $2, which helps go to run the website and keep everything up to date. But it's fun. You know, we send it out. We may have sold a couple of hundred calendars this year. Of people getting them. You can still get them. If you go to the geohipster.com website, you'll see a link to it. And it's just fun because we don't throw anything out. People have made, you know, fantasy maps. They've made cartoon-oriented maps. We have one guy, Jonah Atkins. He helps with the art on it. He helps with the front page, the back page, and helps set up all the printing. And it's a process. You know, once this thing gets set up, we try to finalize it by October. And a month or two of, you know, nitpicking it, and then it goes to print. And luckily, the place we're using, lulu.com, I think is where we're using, print on demand. So we don't really have to keep an inventory, and you're not waiting for me to go throw something in the U.S. mail to get it out. And looking at, you know, who has purchased maps, we've sold maps. There's people all over the place buying maps. You know, England, Europe, U.S., Canada, Mexico. The maps are making them out. And it's kind of nice for the map makers themselves. It's a little bit of notoriety, you know, to say that they made the GeoHipster calendar and have a map in publication. And it's fun, you know, it's a different map per month. So it's pretty fun to just kind of see what pops up for the next month.
The calendars are very nice. I had the pleasure to be a judge a couple of years ago. It is very cool to see what people all around the world submitted and how weird and wacky. I mean, some people, you know, maps of the whole world, other people just of their, you know, their tiny neighborhood and using all kinds of different formats and material. I mean, some people, you know, at the cutting edge of what's possible with the various cartographic rendering software. Other people making stuff with like sticks and twigs and
Somebody cross-stitched one a few years ago. I think we got even a cross-stitched map in, I believe.
Yeah, that was very correctly. Nice.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, it's not, and you know, and just because we're all hipster, you know, geo-hipster over here, we don't discriminate. We have people churning in maps from, you know, ArcPro to QGIS to, you know, building whatever they want to build. We don't care. Just make a map. Make it look cool. Make something interesting. And it's kind of nice because, you know, in the middle of all this, you end up with the, oh, man, what is it on Twitter, the 30-day mapathon where they you have to make a map every day in November of something.
The map challenge.
The 30-day map challenge.
30 days of mapping or whatever.
Yeah, I need to do that one day, but, oh, man, it's so impressive. You sit there and look at what everybody's doing going, God, that's really nice. And, you know, and I think occasionally we get some maps out of that. So it's a pretty nice publication. It's pretty cool. But yeah, we're going to keep doing it.
Any, what are the hot new technologies for that Geo Hipsters are playing with? What's the word on the street out there?
Pencils, pens, compasses. I don't know entirely. I know the stuff I look at and the stuff that fascinates me. Like I generally, just because of business, have a fascination with open source. And we did a meeting in Nashville, Tennessee, not terribly long ago. And one of the guys working on STACK, which is the Spatial Temporal Asset Catalog software spoke, or the API, I guess. And that was pretty fascinating on how that's developing. You know, kind of just watching stuff build, watching PostGIS do its thing, watching QGIS do its thing, watching weird and wacky software like OpenJump make another, you know, produce another release in December. And for me, that kind of stuff's fun to look at. But yeah, watching the trends of just, you know, the STACK stuff to me is fascinating. It seems like everybody owns a satellite these days, and they're tossing a satellite up. I guess everybody's trying to be like Planet and, you know, have their own CubeSat floating around. But yeah, so I'm not entirely sure, but hopefully I'll know more here shortly.
How do you see, I mean, it used to be, I can remember, you know, I'm kind of dating myself, which makes me not a hipster, but, you know, there used to be this big debate about between the Neo Geo people and the Paleo Geo. I don't know if that it was so pronounced in the U.S. Yeah. as it was in Europe, but, and then also, you know, the open data versus non-open data, open source versus non-open source. How do you see these kinds of holy wars or, it feels like the tension has kind of gone out there, and now everyone's just kind of working away as whatever way they think
that's best. You know, yeah, that's kind of how I see it. I actually had the debate a couple of months ago. I was talking to a person here locally, and we, you know, we had the discussion about software and this and that, and it turned into an open source versus closed source discussion, and I was just sitting there thinking like, I haven't had this kind of talk in a long time because the tools have gotten so good or so, I don't know, ubiquitous. It doesn't really matter anymore. I mean, I can use open source and hand it off to closed source or, you know, are there still neo-geographers floating around? Or we're all just working away. You know, we churn out data at the end of the day and pass it off to a server somewhere. Be it a, you know, some server sitting in the sky, some cloud computer, and it just works. You know, it's pretty interesting watching all this, you know, spin out and work, like the COG, the Cloud Optimized GeoTIFF, and I saw an email today, they were talking about Cloud Optimized Vector Data, and if the software can ingest it, there's really not that big of a deal anymore. It's just making maps, working, doing analysis.
Yes and no. I mean, you are absolutely correct that things work much better. On the other hand, you know, it's just, are we all just cogs in the machine giving all our data to Google and or AWS or whatever? And it's just, You can choose which billionaire you help send to Mars faster than the only decision you're going to make. And
riding the giant rocket. And speaking of like other weird things going on, if you've watched the OpenStreetMap crew, the Overture, I believe is Overture, TomTom.
Yes, yes. Here. Well, yes. Just today we released an episode about an interview with Mark from Overture.
Yeah, and all that stuff is starting up. And I love OpenStreetMap. I contribute to it. My whole kick has been doing parking lots. I love doing parking lots. Are my edits going to go into the giant, again, like you're saying, the giant, cog in the machine? Am I contributing to here and TomTom? Maybe, I guess. I don't know. But.
So what else can we expect in the coming under your reign here at GeoHipster? How can people get involved if people are like, I'm ready. I want to move. Should people volunteer to be interviewed or what? They have to just keep being hip and hope they eventually get the top on the floor? How does it work?
Hope we stumble into you at the closest coffee shop and or bar. Send us an email. I mean, we've got the website up. I actually was just thinking about this today. I actually added my email address to the website. And so if you submit something through there, if you can't get a hold of somebody, email me. If you want to do interviews, if you were, that compelled, get on board. We just kind of look for people to go out and have fun and track down people to interview. So yeah, if you want to get interviewed, let us know. We tend to steer clear of like just straight out commercial stuff. I want to see more of the human side of it. You know, what's going on behind the scenes, but, yeah, track us down, dig us up through the website. We're going to be, hopefully this year, if I can get the store wrestled to the ground, we're going to be, as different members of the group, like I said, we've got, 15 of us thereabouts. I'll be sending out stickers and different things I'll be handing out. So we'll be out and about and, just let us know, track us down through geohipster.com and maybe I'll add a,
I was just going to say, I do encourage people to get involved because, particularly maybe, people who kind of at the start of their career and it's a great way to get to know people and to make yourself a bit more known. And, they say one of the most important things in your career is not a lot of people, especially technical people who, which I would say most people in geospatial, lean towards a technical way of thinking. A lot of technical people have the assumption like, oh, if I just solve the problem and I do good work, I'm the problem solver, then they'll move forward in their career. And it's not necessarily the case. You need to do good work, of course, but you also need to talk about it and you need to make it known. and this is a great way to do it. And particularly, I think also, as we just talked about, technologies come and go, and whatever way we're doing it today, we can be certain in 10 years it's going to be different, at least slightly. And so it becomes more and more about the relationships that you build up over the course of your career. Also, of course, now as people, it's much more normal. People are jumping between jobs, or maybe they work somewhere, then they work for themselves, and then maybe they take some time off, and then they. So over the course of your career, the relationships become more and more critical.
Oh, they do. And
well, and that's why I think it's so GeoHipster is so interesting, because you're profiling the people. It's not about, of course, I mean, we want to talk with the people because they're doing interesting work, but it's not really about the work. It's more about the people, and how they see things.
Yeah. And everybody's got a story. Everybody's got a story sitting somewhere on why they're doing what they're doing. And for years, when I was working at the feds, I felt like I was a great troubleshooter. And somebody would have a problem, ARC, info, I'm talking about dating yourself. An AML wasn't running correctly or something was going on. And so I would jump in and work on it. And at the end of the day, you just, that's what you end up doing. You become, you know, a troubleshooter. You're kind of just plugging along, but you know, you got a story. Everybody needs to know. And especially now in this, I don't want to say we're post-COVID, but the in-between times of COVID, I guess we're in between pre and post. People are jumping jobs. People are doing different things. And, you know, it's even made me wonder if we don't need to go back and look at some of our previous interviews from 6, 7, 8 years ago and maybe reach out again and go, okay, where are you now? Are you still doing geo? Have you moved on? Are you working for different people? You know, maybe somebody jumped from, you know, development seed to map box to something else now. Maybe we need to go back and just take a look and see what people are doing. Because it's all about the story. So tracking people down and seeing what they're doing, why they're doing it. And that's why it's important, you know, track us down so we can interview you.
All right. Well, on that note, I guess this will wrap up here. Any final thoughts you want to leave our listeners with? Anyone, how can, you know, any final tips on how they can become hip or why, you know?
You need at least like 3 desktop type softwares on your computer at any one time. You should at least try running Linux on half of what you own. Even those of you with Macs, you should just, you know, take the Mac operating system off, run Linux on it. I don't know. It's, you know, do cool things. Go out and explore. Mapping, it's so funny, like watching the cartography, watching the tool, especially Cardo. You know, I've spent a whole career where not necessarily map making has been an end goal. It's been a lot of spreadsheets and a lot of other stuff, but you know, cartography is kind of in its heyday right now. Everybody's making maps, doing stuff. So if you've got a map to make, submit it to the calendar. Track us down. Let us interview you. Let us tell your story on GeoHipster. And hey, you might even get a t-shirt out of it. Maybe.
All right. Well, then I encourage everyone out there listening to get involved, submit your maps to the calendar, get interviewed, start interviewing people, and most of all, start doing cool stuff with, do cool geospatial stuff and talk about it.
Yeah.
So thanks very much for coming on the show, and good luck in your new role.
So. Oh, yeah. Awesome.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us today and listening to the GeoMob podcast. We hope you enjoyed the discussion. Please get in touch with us if you have any feedback or suggestions for topics we should cover. You can get the show notes over on the website, which is at thegeomob.com. While you're there, you can sign up for our monthly mailing list where we keep you informed about upcoming events. You can, of course, also follow us on Twitter where our handle is GeoMob. Thanks for listening and hope to see you at a GeoMob event soon.